The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. It is all about making the world a better place. Join me.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, folks. We're finally on the air. We are having some heat effect difficulties. I mean, we got triple digits in the city of Chicago, and it's affecting everything, even a computer. This is a internet radio talk show host, and if anything happens to the computers, you know the show is kaput. So. It's not good, folks. I mean, I'm trying to do the show. I want to bring it to you, but you know, I can't help it. These natural effects start happening. These difficulties start happening because of the weather. The weather is just hot. What can I say, folks? It is burning up, and I'm in my studio, and it's plenty of air here, but. You know, anything can happen. I mean, my guest, Yolanda Robinson, I emailed her, called her, and told her that she can appear on the show if she wants. There is no guarantee that the show is going to work 100% bug-free because of the heat. The heat is tearing it apart. I mean, the guest yesterday, I apologized to her, Senetta Anthony, because she could not call into the show because we were having problems. These things happen. This is a weather-related problem, I believe. This is a weather-related problem, and I'm not the only one that's having it. So we're going to try and get to the show if we can. We're going to try and see if we can solve the problem. But this is a heat-related problem, and we all know that because I am not the only one that's having internet problems regarding the extreme. It hasn't been hot like this in Chicago in a long time. Maybe if I can remember back, maybe 1999, if I'm correct. But I want to say this to all the people out here. Heat stroke is a real thing. It really, really, truly happens. So if you are out here, try not to spend too much time. I mean, I'm in my studio. I'm looking out here on the window, and I see people out here. I understand that a lot of us has to be outside. We work outside. We have to go here, go there, run errands, do this. I understand. But, you know, I'm not the only one saying this. These are probably meteorologists are saying this. Weather people are saying this. The national news are saying the same thing. The weather industry, the weather channel, get out of the stream tea if you can and drink plenty of liquid. Someone's saying drink chocolate milk. I don't know about that. I'm saying drink complete water, straight up water. If you have to be out here, it is totally, totally hot, folks. And the weather is totally messing with everything, the computers. So I'm on the air, luckily, for now. I don't know. Any minute now, it could go bluey. You know? But this is the George Wilder Jr. Show, and we're going to try to do everything we can to bring you a great show, a good show, as always. But I cannot, you know, do anything about the weather. And it is hot, folks. It is burning up. And computer problems, they happen. And this is an online computer show, radio show. And I'm your host, George Wilder Jr. You can always find me on right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm all over the place, folks. LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. I'm all over the place. Even the heat has my mouth all yucky up and everything, if I can speak. But it's a mess, folks. The heat wise, we're gonna try to get on with the show. And if my guest call in or she, you know, decides she wants to be a part of the show, it's okay. But I can't guarantee her that everything is gonna go smoothly because of the heat on this show. All right, Yolanda Robinson on the George Wilder Jr. Show. This show is always about folks making the world a better place. Even if I say Saturday eve, drink plenty of liquids. Get somewhere where there is an air conditioner. And, you know, just and listen to my show. Listen to my show. You can listen to my podcast, previous shows, downloaded shows. All those shows are pretty good. And they're all... Most of them are, if not all of them are, very, very entertaining, and they're very serious all at the same time. You know, so do yourself a favor. If you know anyone, you know, call on your loved ones, elderly, and seniors, and people like that. Check on them and make sure they are okay, because seniors and older people, they are more susceptible to dehydration in this type of way. There's no doubt about that. So you want to check on your family, you want to check on your loved ones, you want to check on everybody that you possibly can to make sure that everybody's all right during this spell of triple-digit heat in the city of Chicago and all around the United States. This is some serious stuff, folks. And, you know, a lot of people are listening when weather reports say stay out of the heat, because a lot of the beaches are damn near empty. There's nobody on them. So people are listening and they're staying off the street. And I want to say one other thing. Keep the kids out of hot cars. Keep your pets out of the hot cars. A lot of times mothers and fathers will forget that their kid is in the back seat of their SUV, and that's on a very, 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 very hot day. And that's dangerous. So we want to do all the right things to keep ourselves safe in this, hopefully a short and brief turn of this hot weather. But it's here, and we have to deal with it. We have to deal with it, and it's nothing to play with. It is nothing to play with, folks. So talk to everyone you know about it, and try to keep yourself safe, keep yourself alive, because this heat is deadly. It will kill. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We just got on the air at a little bit, I think about 5 minutes late, because I'm pretty sure whatever it was probably heat-related. It is tough. It is hot. It is a mess. But it's summer. It's summer. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, and this is always about making the world a better place, even if I'm just talking about keeping yourself safe from this enormous, this furious, ferocious heat weather. That's, you know, a part of making the world a better place. And it's always up here about making a better place one show at a time, or one episode at a time, whatever you want to call it. You know, this is a talk about time. Anything goes. I mean, anything can be talked about on this show. 347-857-1762. You're listening to the George Waters Jr. Show. And it is hot. Keep yourself cool, folks, and just enjoy the show. You got it?
Rafay, and this is 7 ways to get more reviews to your books.
All right, folks. All right, this is the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are having some difficulties here, and I'm thinking it's because of the heat, but it may not be. I don't know, but we are having problems, and some people say it is the heat because I am the I'm not the only one that's having these problems. Well, let's move right along doing the show. Okay, we want to talk about the latest police shooting. The latest police shootings, and it, folks, it just never stops, And I'm pretty sure a lot of you guys and women seen the video where the guy's lying on the ground, his hands up. There's an artistic young man sitting beside him. He is the one of the caretakers at the clinic, checking on his the young man, and he's laying flat in the street. The police are pointing guns at him. All of a sudden, the police walks up to him and shoots him on the ground with his hands up. He didn't have a gun. He didn't have anything. This is too much. This is just happening too much too often, and I'm wondering what is Obama, what is he saying now? Yeah, because I think a couple of weeks ago, while he was attending the policemen's funerals who were gunned down by snipers, he said something like that he had their backs. And my thinking was at that time, does he have the backs of the people who were shot and abused by police officers? Does he have their backs? Apparently not.
because he was more on the side of the police officers than he was on side of the people who are victims of police brutality. And in my thinking, that's what Black Lives Matter is about, or they should be about, okay? They should be about they are not anti-police. I'm thinking that they are anti-police brutality. And for Obama to say something that he has a policeman's back, I think that was disingenuous. I think that was too late. He just tells you, right, it tells you how much he cares and what he has done actual for the Black community. Obama has done jack for the African-American community. I don't think he's done too much for America. But if you listen to white America, they'll tell you, well, he's done this, he's done that. But for African-Americans, he's done nothing. I think Hispanics, gay marriage, refugees, he's done more for those groups of people than he's done for African-Americans. There is no doubt about that, folks. There is no doubt about that. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm coming to you from a different medium than I usually would be coming because of, I'm thinking it's because of the heat, okay? I'm hoping that's the problem here. But anyway, we're going to have 3 days off to try to figure this out, and you can always, like I said before, you can always listen to podcasts of earlier shows. They're just as good. They're just as, I put just as much as in those shows that I put in every show, and it's just been trying, folks. It's just been trying. The heat is really starting to even get to me a little bit, and I'm trying to, you know, do the best I can to get through the show because this is an internet radio show. Right now I'm doing the show on the phone because somehow the heat has penetrated my equipment here. Yeah, and I'm trying to stay positive. I'm grinning, but it's not that funny, okay? And 5 o'clock. This show is supposed to start at 5. Something is not right. Well, anyway, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio. Let's see if we can do a clip here. Let's see if we let me just try it. Oh, my God. This is working. Thank you so much. I think I needed that. And if I can talk about it again, we have had another police shooting. Another shooting, folks. This is just unreal. You really can't fathom this. Another police shooting after all the sniper shootings and killing of police officers. You would think that some of these officers would have learned their lesson. I'm not trying to be pervasive with this. I'm just saying that with all the violence and that this kind of thing ignites, you would think that the police officers would stop going around shooting people unarmed with their hands up saying, please don't shoot, and the officer shoots. And from my understanding, the guy who was shot from his hospital bed, he actually asked the police officer, he said, why did you shoot me? I'm quoting. He said, why did you shoot me? And the police officer said, I don't know. Now, if that's true, that's ridiculous. And I'm wondering, what is Obama's going to say now? You know, a lot of these people out here who are saying that police officers put their lives on the line for us, police officers are in danger every day, police officers are part of the community and the neighborhood. What are they going to say now when at this latest incident of police shooting an unarmed man laying flat on his back with his arms, with his hands up, walks up, I'm assuming, and shoots the guy. And shoots him. And it doesn't matter what his excuse was. Nobody, neither the guy, the caretaker, nor the young man with autism, they were not armed. They had no weapon. No weapon. And this cop shot this guy and said, and gave him an answer when he asked the question, why did you shoot me? He said, I don't know. I wonder how the pundits are going to spin this. All of these haters out here of African Americans who feel that, you know, if they get shot by the police, if they get shot by a police officer, that they deserve to be shot. So, you know, I wonder what they're going to say. And I'm pretty sure they're going to spin this in a way that is going to benefit the police officer. You know, especially Fox News, CNN, they're going to spin this the way where it's actually is going to go towards a police officer. This is just wrong. This is wrong. And every time you look around, it's a cop is shooting an unarmed black person. This time they say the cop who shot this guy in the leg was an Hispanic cop. It doesn't matter. It's still police brutality. It's police, it's excessive force. It's unnecessary force. This, if you've seen the video, you would know right then by viewing the video that this is totally, totally unnecessary. Even the guy who was shot in the leg by the cop, he said, man, this is unnecessary. Why did you do this? Again, he says, I don't know. Now, I'm just waiting, like I said before, folks, I'm just waiting to hear how the pundits and the haters are going to spin this. They spent the others out of control. But what we don't want, we don't want any riots over this. We don't want more cops killed over this, even though this is clearly another police shooting, unnecessary shooting. But we don't want people to get out here and riot. We don't want people to go home and get a gun, jump on the top of a building, and shoot down and ambush cops. We don't want that. This show is about making the world a better place. That's all it's about. Nothing more, nothing less. And that's what it's all about. We don't want no carnage. We don't want any carnage in the street. We don't want to see dead cops. We don't want to see innocent dead people shot either. We want America to come together. America should stop. One of the things I realize that we are in a civil war with each other. We are fighting each other, and that is wrong. We have to stop that. We are killing each other. We should stop that. And I want to say to the bad guys out here, put the guns down. Stop killing. Stop killing. I'm going to talk about, in the next segment of the show, I'm going to talk about a 6-year-old girl shot in Chicago. I will be right back, folks. Thanks a lot. Can we get it going? All right.
my son has been arrested for walking while black.
A lot of sons have been.
Yeah, I get it. It doesn't make me, you know, you can't buy your way out of this one. You can't educate your way out of it.
It's happening too much, or at least we know about it now.
It's always happened. We see more evidence of it. And too often people still are inclined to say, well, if he'd had a different attitude, well, if he hadn't been driving, well, if he hadn't been this, if he hadn't been that, almost as if the victim is partially to blame. You know, in the case of Garner, well, he shouldn't have resisted. In the case of Brown, well, where was he? In the case of Trayvon, well, he had a hood on, you know, and in the case of whoever, you know, in case of Sandra Bland, you know, well, her attitude was bad. It's like, no, stop. This has nothing to do with the victims. This has everything to do with the culture of demeaning a person of color. And there is no justification for society where my son has a far greater chance of being stopped, held, killed than your son, simply because he's black.
Well, that's well said. I play that clip because I think that is totally well said. And it's just totally, the police is, some of these guys are just totally out of control. And I've said this before a million times. I think if there are good cops on the force, but there's too many bad cops out there too. And if the good cops do not turn into bad cops, then the good cops become bad cops, in my opinion. Totally in my opinion. And for this to keep going, for this to keep happening after all these riots and shootings and killings, and for this to keep going, it's just ridiculous. All right, let's move right along. Let's move right along to the convention. Okay, convention. And, you know, this is such a show, folks, this convention. I think this is the third or fourth day of the convention. I know you heard about Ted Cruz not supporting Donald Trump and Donald at the convention, and he was booed off the stage. This thing just keeps getting better and better and better. I mean, the first night of the convention, Donald Trump's trophy wife plagiarized Michelle Obama's speech. It just gets crazier and crazier and crazier all the time watching this convention. To tell you the truth, I'm not really interested in it. I'm not interested in it at all. But, you know, being on the radio and having my own show and, you know, wanting to make the world a better place, you know, I have to report on things like this, even if I, you know, don't care too much about it. And if you watch the convention at all, you'll know that just about every speaker that has taken the podium, they blasted Hillary Clinton. I mean, it was all about Hillary Clinton. I mean, like, as if she was the devil himself. I mean, they really tore a hole in her. I mean, they, women speakers, male speakers, I mean, they really went after Hillary Clinton as if she was some alien from another planet that needed to be extinguished. My thinking is that these guys, all of these Republican speakers who in this Republican convention the last few nights, they are just scared as hell of Hillary Clinton. They are terrorized of Hillary Clinton. They know that Hillary Clinton can win this election, and they're doing everything that they can. They're screaming, yelling, being vile, nasty, and they're hatred for her is just totally out there. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I did contact my guest Yolanda Robinson earlier, and I told her that I might have some difficulties. There might be some technical difficulties with the show. I told her if she wanted to be a part of it, it was up to her. If she did not understood that, and it looks like she took the other route, which is fine with me. this is fine. This is cool because it is hot, folks. And I do believe that something, there is something in the air, the heat that's probably causing the computers to, you know, melt down here and there. I'm on the phone, so it's something new to me. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, so join me next week. I'm not going off the air. Just join me next week because I'm going to have a whole slew of guests. I'm all booked for August. I'm all booked for September. So that should be fun. It should be a fun ride. But remember, this is an internet radio show, so there's always difficulties that can pop up at any minute, at any rate. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to take a small break right here. We should have... let's see what we're going to do. We got that going? All right, we're going to take a musical break, folks, if I could say it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived.
With reaction, D.L. Hughley, actor, radio host, and author of Black Man, White House, an oral history of the Obama years. D.L., thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I didn't know Mark Furman was going to be here.
What did you make of it? Because you were shaking your head.
I think that cops have a different perspective than us, and I think it was interesting to hear Mark Furman, who was actually got in trouble for perjuring himself, called somebody a liar. It's ridiculous to me.
Mm-hmm. But what do you make of the fact that she had inconsistencies in her story?
I think the cop had inconsistencies in his too.
Mm-hmm.
To me.
So then you let the evidence play out.
Here's my problem. It is my belief that no matter what happens, no matter what we see, the cops are given a presumption of innocence. If that same tape showed a suspect doing something, that would be all the prosecution would need. They would say the evidence is all right here. But a cop gets a presumption of innocence that is, no matter what they see, we can see somebody getting shot to death. They go, we don't know what happened before. We don't know what happened after. Mm-hmm. I know this, that in a state, in both these states, a lot of men in Louisiana, 47% of people carry guns. Men carry guns. So men having guns on them can't be that unusual. Why wasn't the first question, rather than assuming, do you have a permit for that?
Mm-hmm.
Those are states that you can carry a gun.
But you're making assumptions because we don't know what happened.
No, no.
What we have right now is her testimonial, which doesn't capture the actual event. Do we know whether she's credible? Do we know whether...
We know this. We know he had a permit to carry a gun.
But that doesn't answer any of the questions.
That absolutely answers the question.
If he pulled the firearm on the officer, if he didn't disclose it, if the officer felt threatened.
Why on earth would you? Here's what we do know. He had a permit to carry a gun. When you get a permit to carry a gun, they tell you exactly how to act when a police officer pulls you
over. That doesn't mean he didn't threaten the officer.
You're willing to give them a presumption of innocence.
I'm not giving them presumption. Well, the law gives them the presumption of innocence.
No, they're bad to give them a presumption of
innocence. I'm saying we don't
know
the facts. I mean, we saw this happen with Michael Brown of Ferguson.
And we still don't know the facts there. We have a police officer's word and a grand jury's word.
No, we have the Department of Justice's word.
The Department of Justice shut down Ferguson. Ferguson had to be shut down because it was so corrupt.
The Department of Justice found that the police there had endemic racism. They found that.
Right.
But they also exonerated Officer Gary Wilson.
That's not a...
And they found Hands Up, Don't Shoot was a lie. And that Brown was the aggressor.
Wow. Here's what I'll say.
Don't wow me.
Don't tell me not to wow you. I can say wow if I want to, and I'll tell you this.
That is what they found.
I'll tell you this. They found systemic racism, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's unbelievable. They also found systemic racism, and we know that Darren Wilson left the department because it was so racist it had to be disbanded, and he went to Ferguson, another department that is rife with racism.
So that makes him a racist.
Absolutely. You know, I have no problem.
Michael Brown grabbed that officer's gun and tried to shoot him in his patrol.
That is no one has proven that.
Eric Holder's DOJ concluded.
And Eric Holder's DOJ concluded that department was so rife with
corruption. I already conceded that, DL.
Hey, Megan,
we're talking about Michael Brown and the lie.
Let's be clear.
Of Hands Up, Don't Shoot.
I don't dodge at all. I'm here in Fox
News.
We were talking about the young man that just got murdered in Minnesota.
First off,
what I'll tell you is this. It is not uncommon for you all to see one thing. The only place racism doesn't exist is Fox News and the police department.
That's absolutely true. That's insulting. You just insulted millions of people watching this channel.
And you know what? I'm insulted by the things I hear on this network, so we're even. I could care less about insulting people that insult me on a daily basis.
You're making a point that is, before the insults, the point you started to make is true, and we can talk about that, that whites perceive the situation when it comes to these races.
I think a lot of people on this network have never seen a black man anything deserved.
Could you hold the insults for a second so we can have a productive conversation? You were going to make the points that whites see certain incidents differently than blacks do, and we saw that in the O.J. Simpson case when the verdict came down.
Sure.
I'll give you that. Most reasonable people will give you that. But you know what shuts down all reasonable dialogue is throwing out the term racism before it's been proven.
You know what's, first off, I'll say this. I believe that there is a benefit of the doubt given to police officers. It's not given to anybody else. And maybe, obviously they do a tough job. You can't. In 2006, the FBI came out with a report that said that police departments were rife with white supremacists. Said it, not me. So why would not believe, if I know that, I don't know a black man that hasn't had a run-in with a police officer, mm-hmm. from the highest to the lowest.
So my perception of this is
based on the experience I've had, just like yours are.
Mm-hmm.
So I am not willing to give them a benefit of the doubt. I have seen a lot of things. I lived in the city that Mark Furman policed that also had to be taken over by the federal government because it was so
right. It's very dangerous when you get to the point where you paint with an entire group with the same brush based on bad actions of a few.
That is amazing to hear on this network. That really is.
DL.
That really is. Amazing to hear on this network. The only place racism
is... Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
All right. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. That was Megyn Kelly on her Fox News show talking to D.L. Hewitt. They were wrestling it over around the issues of race in America. And I'm still, folks, I'm still thinking about, actually I'm looking at Huffington Post and I'm looking at this video of this therapist on the ground, hands up, I've talked about this before, with this artistic young man sitting beside him, and a police officer walked up and just shot him in the leg and said, don't shoot, shot him. And both of these people were unarmed. If shooting of an unarmed therapist doesn't prove something to America, I don't know what will. If this doesn't say that America does not have a problem with police brutality, what does? What does? This is clearly it. For a minute there, I thought it was over for a while because of the ambush and assassination of some of the police officers that have gone on around the country because of this. And now they're saying for everybody to calm down, calm down, calm down. I think there's going to be more violence over this. I really do. And this proves it right here. Actually, all the other incidents before this prove that America has a problem. Has a problem with the police. And the police has a problem with African Americans. This problem is a systemic problem that goes all the way to the top, the White House. However, our president, you know, he refuses to do anything. He's good at lip service. He's good at feeling, being emotional at these kinds of things. But he's a president. He's supposed to do something about this. Just like the crime in Chicago, if I can divert a little bit, about this six-year-old girl who was shot in the stomach. Six-year-old. She's okay now. She's out of the hospital, or either she's saying she wants to go home, but I'm thinking that she's out by now. She was shot in the belly. Chicago crime is just out of control. And Emanuel and Governor Rauner, these guys are oblivious. At least Rahm Emanuel gives it a lot of lip service. Governor says nothing. And these politicians, they do not know how to deal with crime. This is plain as day. This is plain as that. They don't know how to deal with crime. Because if they did, we would not have the crime rates in the city of Chicago that we have right now. They don't know nothing about crime. I mean, Chicago is the third largest city in the United States of America. New York and Los Angeles, they are the largest. They're larger than Chicago. And together, New York and Los Angeles together combined have a lower rate of murders and shootings and crime than Chicago does. Chicago is the highest. As obviously, these cities are doing something right, and Chicago has yet to learn to do anything right pertaining to lowering those crime numbers in this town. A six-year-old child, I think since the beginning of the year, there's been about 20 to 22 children under the age of 13 shot by gangbangers who could not shoot straight. And I've said this all along. The police officers need help in this town. They need help. Why not the National Guard? Why not the Army? Why not the damn Air Force? Get all the help you can in lowering the crime in this city. You cannot sit back and cry and feel sad and feel all emotional and remorseful. You are a politician. You have the power to stop this. I know that Rahm Emanuel must be really embarrassed when a shooting on the south side of Chicago makes the national news, world news. And it is embarrassing. I mean, it's almost like saying, you're almost embarrassed to say you're from Chicago or you're from Illinois because the whole world knows about Chicago. Rudy Giuliani was in town the other day, and he was saying he was blasting Mary Rahm Emanuel. He was saying things like maybe he should deploy his police officers a little bit more. Of course, Rahm Emanuel is going to disagree with him, you know, but I kind of agree with him. I understand him. He said that the police department under Rahm Emanuel should be more proactive than reactive. Proactive meaning, in his terms, meaning stopping crime before it happens, than to be reactive and to be standing around a crime scene once it has happened. I sort of agree with that. Be proactive. Prevent crimes from happening, not reactive. Reacting after the crime has been done. And that's what it seems like the police officers do, in my estimation. They react instead of being proactive. And obviously, they need help. And when Rahm Emanuel is running for mayor of Chicago for a first term, he was saying he was going to hire 1,000 police officers and put out here on the street. He has yet to do that. And some aldermen are pissed off about this. He has yet to do this. You know, but I don't think, in my estimation, I really don't think that hiring more police officers is going to do a damn thing out here. I think what they need, they need the National Guard. They need the Army. They need a lot of help. They need SWAT. They need a bunch of help. The crime in Chicago is just twofold. And the only reason why people aren't leaving, because a majority of these people in these high crime areas, they can't afford to leave. They don't have any money. They have to stay where they stay. But that doesn't mean that they cannot be protected. These people belong to Rahm Emanuel. He should be protecting them. Every time a child is shot, he gets all emotional, tears coming out of his eyes. But that does nothing for the mother and the father, who are probably going to sue the city for not protecting them from the city crime. I've said this before. The police officers, Mayor Rahm Emanuel, they know where the gangbangers are. They know who the gangbangers are. What the hell is stopping them from going and picking these guys up and throwing these guys out of the neighborhood? They have no rights. They're going around shooting people. They have no rights. Get these guys up out of these neighborhoods. You know where they are. You know who they are. You know what they are capable of. Get them out, lock them up, or get them out of the neighborhood before they do more harm. But somehow this stuff just falls on ignorant ears. Nobody hears this. Nobody cares. Just let them, let these gangbangers. It really doesn't bother me if gangbangers shoot each other. They should shoot each other. But when they, you know, turning a gun on a child, that's another thing. Majority of the time, the gangbangers are shooting at each other. Thugs are shooting other thugs. You know, and it so happens the child or someone else get caught in a crossfire and dies instead of one of these thugs dying. Shootings should not be carried on in the neighborhoods. New York has lower crime than Chicago. It's a larger city. Los Angeles has lower crime than Chicago, and it's a larger city. Combined, they have lower crime. It's just beyond me at some of this stuff. All right, we are back, and I want to say another thing. My guest, Yolanda Robinson, I told her, I sent her an email, and I said if she wanted to come on the show, she can be on the show. I told her there was no guarantee that the show would not be interrupted in some way because of technical difficulties involving the extreme heat. So I want to apologize to her if she's listening. And, you know, maybe we can reschedule her at a later date. I'm hoping something like that can happen, but who knows? We're going to take a break right here, folks. We will be right back. We'll be right back.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
Your president sent a letter out to every school district in America 2 weeks ago. Obama, don't get quiet, because 8 years ago, y'all was dancing in the streets. Let's be honest. You was twerking, backsliding, somersaulting. We got Obama, we got Obama. Negroes ran around and said, we have arrived. The president is black. Now I look at you 8 years later. Has done absolutely nothing for you or your children. I know he's president of all the people. I understand. But all the people are not gay, but he damn sure looked out for them. I understand he's president of all the people, but everyone in America is not a Latino, but he looked out for them. He's president of all the people, but everyone in America is not a woman, but he damn sure gave white women the Equal Pay Act. So why is it that he got to be president for everybody when it comes to us? But it's okay for him to just be concerned with gay folks sometimes. It's okay for him to just be concerned with Latinos sometimes. It's okay for him to just be concerned with illegal immigrants sometimes. He can pay particular attention to every other non-white community in America, but when it comes to you, you're not allowed to expect anything from him. So Obama sent this letter telling the school districts of America that if you don't want to lose your special ed money, and if you don't want to lose your JROTC money, and if you don't want to lose your No Child Left Behind money, and if you don't want to lose your Title I money, you must allow transgender children. This is 2 weeks ago. This is new news. You must let transgender students use the bathroom of the gender with which they identify. This is what's going on now. So by the new year in New York City, you're going to have a situation where a boy can go into your daughter's bathroom because he's in the process of changing his gender. You're going to have a situation where girls can go into the boy's bathroom because she's in the process of changing her gender. Now, here's my issue with this. I'm an educator. I'm a school principal. The schools are out of control enough as it is. There's no law and order in the high schools anyway. So how do you add further confusion by now removing the sign off the door that says girl? And the sign off the door that says boy, and replace it with a sign that looks half boy and half girl, which basically says, do as you please. Well, guess what, black folks? This is your fault more than Obama's. Because it was we who championed him and his election and stayed loyal, even when he did nothing after the Trayvon Martin verdict. Stayed loyal when he refused to do anything about the systematic police extermination of black folks. You stayed loyal. Somebody said, we must protect him because he looks like us. Bill Cosby looked like your ass too. But you ain't rushing to help Bill. You let the bourgeoisie manipulate you and your loyalty into defending Negroes who are pro-status quo. Obama don't care about nobody in this room, but because you suffer from a paralysis of analysis, and because you did not ask critical questions of him 8 years ago, our children will suffer from the aftermath 30, 40 years from now. Let me tell you why Obama was put in office. I want you to be clear. Every president is given a domestic agenda and a foreign agenda. Every president. Regardless if it goes in the White House next year, whether it's Hillary or Trump or whomever. They're going to be given a foreign mandate, a domestic mandate. Obama's foreign mandate was to open up Africa's resources to exploitation again. He did that with AFRICOM. America has recolonized Africa on a level we've never seen before under Obamaism. And our African brothers and sisters are just as brainwashed as you are. I was in Africa on the eve of Obama's first and second election, and I couldn't tell them brothers and sisters nothing. Just like you, they had an Obama psychosis. God sent them, Jesus sent them, Muhammad sent them. So when Obama came to their table, they opened up the resources because his daddy allegedly was an African. That was the foreign mandate. Take back Africa. Guess what the domestic one was? Check this out. 8 years ago, the United States government, Hillary Clinton, because she's a population control junkie, we're going to get to that in a minute, because a lot of y'all pro-Hillary. First of all, I disagree with anybody who creates a dichotomy of any white person or people whatsoever. To paint Trump as the devil means Hillary is an angel. You should not be doing that. You're confusing your children. Hillary is no better than Trump. They are the same when it comes to African people. There's no difference there. The difference is only in your mind. See, white supremacy operates through the names, the titles. They said power is the ability to do what? What is power? The ability to define reality and make the victims accept your definition. Like you. You believe you exist in freedom. What the hell is free about you? We're not free. Freedom is the ability to do exactly what white folks do, when they do it, and how they do it, economically and politically. Are you free to buy a home anywhere? Are you free to work wherever you want? Is your child free to go to school wherever you choose? You were never free. You were emancipated. Abraham Lincoln gave you an emancipation. But the 13 colonies declared independence. Why were the colonies independent, but Africans were emancipated? The word
You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making the world a better place, one show at a time. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making this world a better place one show at a time. At least we're trying. You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Oh, wow, folks, it's getting hotter. It's getting hotter. It is totally hot in the city of Chicago. And I'm saying, get out of that, get out of the weather, stay safe, get somewhere and be safe. It is totally a sun bath out here. I can already see it, but it is. All right, so I'm looking at Dan Aykroyd, former member of the Saturday Night Live, if I can say it. He's one of the original Ghostbusters. He has spoken in defense of Leslie Jones, who stars in the film Reboot, and she has faced an onslaught of racist abuse from trolls on Twitter. I can imagine what they're saying. I know she has got to be hurt, feeling bad, and I can imagine some of the things that they're saying. I'm not going to say it on the air, but she looks like a sweet and wonderful and talented young lady. And to me, it's just awful the way people are just treating her. Leslie Jones, you've seen her on Saturday Night Live. She's also starring in the new Ghostbusters movie. And from my understanding, some people like the movie, some people do not like the movie. I haven't seen it, but I've heard, I've read some good reviews on the movie, and then I read some bad reviews on the movie. But, you know, like I said, I haven't seen it, so I can't really give you a review of the movie because I haven't seen it. But anyway, they are trashing the African-American star, Leslie Jones. They are trashing her. And I'm quoting Dan Aykroyd here, former member of Saturday Night Live. You might see him in the movies Ghostbusters, Dr. Detroit, Blues Busters 1. I mean, not Blues. Blues Brothers. Blues Brothers 1 and there's Blues Brothers 2000. He's been all over the place. I think he deals with wine nowadays or something to that effect. But anyway, he's saying, and I'm quoting, they have no lives of their own. They probably barely pay for Wi-Fi they're using. Probably have no jobs, I'm quoting. And he goes on to say, I would say you're looking at probably obese white men between 50 and 60 who are active Klan members, Ku Klux Klan members. These are Danny's words, or members of the Aryan Nation. You know, he is really trying to come to the defense of his fellow cast member, Leslie Jones, because she's in a reboot of one of his movies, Ghostbusters. And I can, like I said before, folks, I can see and hear some of the nasty things that they're saying about her. You know, I mean, she, and I'm starting to feel sorry for her. I'm starting to feel kind of remorse for her, not because she's African-American like I am, but just in general. People just troll the Internet. Dan Aykroyd probably right. These are probably just losers. They probably can't afford Wi-Fi. They're probably fat, sloppy, old, and just evil, mean racists. This is what evil white racists, you know, attacking this young lady, attacking this talented actress, young lady, Leslie Jones, from Saturday Night Live. And he's calling them trolls. And I have a feeling that Dan Aykroyd is probably a Republican, you know, but he's one of those good Republicans from where I stand, okay, if there is a good Republican. Okay, and I go on to quote Dan Aykroyd. There are a lot of white racist hatred out there. He's not lying about that. That's not going to go away. That's channeling into support for the Republican ticket. Okay, maybe he's not a Republican. Maybe in the false belief that these people share their views, Aykroyd said. I don't think that Trump and Pence are as racist as the people who are attacking Leslie Jones. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I wish they would get off of her. Leave her alone. She's talented. She's probably rich, maybe. If she's not rich, she's certainly going to be if she keeps doing what she's doing in the terms of making great movies. Okay? You know, there are a lot of nasty people out here. And they're online, and they're on Twitter, they're on Facebook, they're on LinkedIn. They're all over the place, nasty, ornery, vile-ass people who are waiting out there to tear you down the minute they see you're trying to make something out of yourself. They're out there. And you have to be, you have to have a strong, strong skin for this. They're out there. If anybody's out there who are racist and vile and hatred, they're out there. They are out there. If they're anybody, they're out there, you know, and it's too many of them. So we have to go to the defense of people who are the victims of this kind of viral talk, because we know that sometimes this talk Leslie Jones probably, you know, this is probably bothering her immensely, but I'm pretty sure she has a lot of friends and a lot of support, and that is what probably getting her through this. That's getting her through this, these awful times. She made a wonderful movie, a hit movie, a great movie, and you got these assholes out there who just cannot stand it. They got to come off and talk about her, call her all kind of names, call her this, call her that. You know, I can imagine what they're calling her. But they would not be saying one word about her if she was not successful. If she wasn't successful, you know, they would probably leave her alone. And they will find somebody else to go pick on and bother and hate. You know, that's what it's all about in America, and that's a damn shame. But this lady, just like any one of us, this lady has picked herself up out of the gutter and made something of herself. And now the racists, the haters, and the trolls are trying to take her down to make her feel as if she doesn't deserve what she has, or she doesn't deserve to be the person that she is now. That's just pathetic. That's wrong. That's not right. But this is America. And like I said before, I think, matter of fact, I know she has a lot of friends who love her, a lot of friends who are probably putting their arms around her right now. She's probably hurt and devastated over all of this. And I'm on her side. I'm on her side. I'm her friend. I never met her. I don't know her. I've seen her on television, but I know what she's going through. I know what she's going through, and I hope one day I can get her on the show, if at all possible. You know, if at all possible. I know she's probably busy making movies, and doing Saturday Night Live and constantly putting up with hate, racism and hatred. And I applaud Dan Aykroyd for standing up and supporting her and slamming her Twitter haters, her Facebook haters everywhere. Because that's one of the things that happened. Whenever you pick yourself up out of the gutter to try and make something of yourself, here come the haters. Here come the people who are going to try to stop you from reaching your goals. They're going to say all kind of nasty things. They're going to lie. They're going to cheat. They're going to try and make you feel like you're non-deserving of what you worked hard for all your life. You don't deserve that. Give it to me. And majority of the time, these people who are saying these things, just like Dan Aykroyd has said, they're losers. They're nothings. They're no ones. They're nobodies. Because if they had a life of their own, they wouldn't be out here trying to ruin Leslie, this woman's life. They would not be out here trying to ruin your life or my life. They don't have lives of their own. That's why they try to destroy other people with good lives. And Dan Aykroyd slams Leslie Jones' Twitter haters. He's taking up for her. And I wish other people in Hollywood and in the movie profession come out and embrace Leslie Jones, take up for her, stand with her, support her, because she's getting a million and trillion of people across social media who are doing her harm by saying nasty, vile, hatred, racism, and just knocking her down all the time. You know, so, and this is just awful. Dan Aykroyd said it's probably men between 50 and 60. I think it's across the board. I really do. I think it's across the board. I don't think hatred and racism, you can put an age on that. All I can say is majority of the people who are slamming this woman, this nice, talented, bright, and creative young lady, they're losers. They're nothings. Because if they were about anything, folks, they would not have time to be thinking about someone else and what they're doing. They would focus all their time on what they are trying to accomplish. But losers, they like to make sure that other people who are trying to elevate themselves to be something, they want them to be also losers. And that's not going to happen. That is not going to happen. And I applaud Dan Aykroyd for that. And I haven't seen the Ghostbuster movie, as I've stated. But I do have the original Ghostbusters. I have one and two, both with Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray. I think those are some of the most classic movies that there are. I remember years ago actually going to the theater and seeing the original Ghostbusters. I mean, it's nothing like going to a theater, a big giant screen, and watching Ghostbusters. Contrast that to a actually television screen. Okay, back then it was smaller, but it was a great movie. I enjoyed it, and I haven't seen the latest Ghostbusters with Leslie Jones. I'm pretty sure I'm going to get to see it at some point in some time. And, you know, I would never trash her. I mean, I remember seeing her on Saturday Night Live a few times. I thought she was a very talented young lady. That's all I thought. I thought she was a very talented young lady, but I can imagine some of the insults and some of the racist comments that are being thrown at her. I can imagine what some of those are. You know, so you've been listening to George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show, folks. We're going to take a break right here. I will be, if we can do this, it's hot, folks. It is really hot.
And the compassion. And please hear us. Hear us when we cry.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right. Okay. It's still hot, folks. And once you download and podcast this show, I might rename it the Triple Digit George Wilder Jr. Show. All right. We've been making a place. We've been making the world a better place one show at a time. This is the talk of our times, and this is what this show is all about, making this world a better place one show at a time. I hope you guys join me next week. We're just about off the air. But anyway, we got about three more minutes into the show, and I want to say we're going to have plenty of guests next week. Join me for that. I always try to have positive and uplifting and informing guests on the show where you can learn something, even I can learn something. I mean, it's a great show. And for all next month, I'm booked up for all next month's guests on the show and also September. You know, so I'm done booking for a while, which is great because booking is a lot of work. And it's a great thing. It's wonderful. I've had my son do my intro. It's a little bit laid back, but, you know, it's him, and he does a great job of it. I'm just hoping he's keeping safe in this heat because he's out there somewhere, hopefully somewhere where there's some air until he gets home, some air conditioning. And it's been great. It's been wonderful. It's been a great show. And I'm in my studio. I'm near the lake. It's you know, they always say it's cooler near the lake. Cool my ass. It's hot, you know. It's hot. It's totally hot. I'm just enjoying the show. I'm enjoying the scenery outside of my studio here. I'm near the avenue here, the boulevard, and I'm watching people as they go by. They're looking in at me, you know, doing the show, and that's fun. It's great. It's great to be near people. It's great to have that closeness that you know, it's a good thing. I can't think of the word, but anyway, it's great to have that closeness, that bond. That's what I'm thinking of, that bond with people. And it keeps me totally, totally energized and keeps me wanting to do the show. And that's great. That's great. I'm hoping the show is just about over, but I'm hoping that you, the audience, you, the listening audience out there, didn't hear any interference, any difficulties, any cracking, any breaking into the show because of the extreme heat. Because this thing, it happened to me yesterday on the show, and the guest was trying to get in touch with me, and I couldn't do that because I was having all kinds of difficulties. But we're going to try and straighten those things out. The best way I think to straighten those things out is for the – okay, someone just said it was 90 seconds. I got 90 seconds to go on the show to talk. And we're going to try and figure these things out in the next 3 days that I'm off. So I won't be back here until Monday. I'm on Monday through Thursday, 6 to 7:30, sometimes 8. I'm on every day of the week except for Friday, okay? I will be here, rain, shine, no matter what. I will be here doing the show because I love doing the show, and I love that you are listening. I love that you are listening. Okay, we're going to go out with a musical break and see if we can find one. All right, folks, I hope you join me on Monday. It should be a great week. We're going to be on every day from 6 to 7:30. Make sure you join me Monday through Thursday. Bye-bye, everybody.